This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth. We're talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. And we all know these days that money may be a little harder to come by, especially if you're looking at your portfolios, your 401k plans, and we know on a profound level, it ain't no joke, okay? Because we know that there is significant financial risk right now, and many of us feel a lot less wealthy today than we may have felt 3 months ago or 6 months ago, just by looking at those account statements that come in. Dare I say, being in this lovely season, known as spring to some people, and tax season to others. So as we're looking at our to-do list with our property taxes and income taxes and everything else, it's very easy to feel insecure about our finances right now, even if we are blessed with a number of zeros in our account, with any number in front of it. Even if, dare I say, you're a millionaire, you may still feel less certain about your financial prospects today than you did 3 or 6 months ago or a year ago. Now, we're going to take a look at how we can create businesses and look at our finances in ways that bring out the best of who we are as human beings. Because at the end of the day and the beginning of the day, for that matter, you know, our finances are going to fluctuate. But who we are in the inside and bringing that out into the world every day, the best of who we are, that is something that nobody can take from us. We've got a shining example of it today with Mike Hannigan, who's actually here in studio as the co-founder of Give Something Back. It's a business company. It's a for-profit company using a model established by Paul Newman, who you may have heard of. You remember him from Butch Cassidy days. But also, you must have seen his salad dressings and lemonades and all the other food products, cookies, and all the things that Newman's own food products have out there, and how much they donate of their profits to, and Newman, I think, donates all of it, possibly. I think they're a nonprofit altogether. But Give Something Back is a for-profit company that donates a significant amount of their profits to nonprofit institutions, to help make education, healthcare, and environmental stewardship a greater reality out there. And we also have with us in our winning business segment today, Hazel Henderson. Yes, that good doctor is making another house call. And you know why it's winning business? Because nobody has to lose. And Hazel is going to bring her insights as a chief economist, futurist, co-executive producer of the Ethical Markets TV series, and the founder of the Calvert Henderson Quality of Life Indicators, which actually goes beyond money to measure the impact of what money means to all of us in our lives. But before we get to Mike and Hazel, you get this week's heaping helping bowl of stew. Yeah, this bowl of stew is a bit of a bear stew. Okay, and for several reasons. Because, one, we're going to take, and it's a bit of a truth serum for that matter as well. Because we're going to take a look at the bare truth of things. And one way to look at it is through the experience of Bear Stearns. And dare I say, what may be a bear market. So here we go. I think we all know by now some of the things that's happened with Bear Stearns in recent days. And I must tell you something. You know, I was a money manager, and I've been in the financial community. I had been for about 20 years, and I cleared through Bear Stearns. And I know so many people there, and a lot of them are really good people. They really are. And I just feel for them because their 401k plan, their ESOP, their stock ownership plan, and all the wealth they thought they had is literally a small fraction of what it was. And it's amazing, you know, Jimmy Kane, who was the president of the company, a year ago, he was in the Fortune 400. He was number 380-something. He had over $1 billion of net worth in Bear Stearns stock alone, which he just blew out at $60 million. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody should now get out their violins and start playing a swan song for him and having pity for our $60 million man over there. Not by a long shot. But it just goes to indicate that you think the smartest guys out there, this guy was a Forbes 400 guy worth over $1 billion, and he let a lot of it slip through his hands. So really, the question of the bare truth of the thing is, what is real anymore? What do we really know? Because the truth is, take a look at this one. Everything that we think is concrete can go just like that. And obviously one prime example is a World Trade Center building, which was literally concrete until it was rubble. And I'm not sure if you know this, but 2 days before Bear Stearns agreed to sell themselves for $2 a share to J.P. Morgan, CEO Alan Schwartz and another chief executive addressed the entire workforce of Bear Stearns, letting everybody know, you know, there are a lot of rumors swirling out there. You know, the media saying all kinds of things about Bear Stearns and its viability. We want to let you know that we have tangible book value of $80 a share. That was 2 days prior to them agreeing to sell to J.P. Morgan at $2 a share. So, what's the bare truth of it? Were they just lying through their teeth? You know, there's a possibility of that. But if we want to go to all those TV shows we've seen with the law and, you know, all the law shows on TV and all that, where's the motive? Where's the motive for them to lie through their teeth if they knew that this destruction and this rubble was inevitable? Actually, I'd like to make the assumption that they were telling the truth based upon what they thought they knew, that they actually believed that they had a tangible book value of $80, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a very scary premise, because Bear Stearns was one of the premier investment banks in the world. And this guy, Alan Schwartz, and his CFO and the leaders of this company probably knew more about the inner workings of the entire financial system, Bear Stearns, its accounting, and everything else, more so than anybody else on the planet. We should be making that assumption. And if they really thought that it was worth $80 a share on Monday, and on Wednesday it's worth $2, well, maybe the emperor is bare, okay? And maybe everything that we think this economy stands for can really go just like that. Because if we really look at it, you know, when things get tough, let's print a few $100 billion. Let's bail out some of these mortgage lenders. Let's bail out a Bear Stearns or a J.P. Morgan or something else. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. All I'm just saying is it seems like the Federal Reserve gets to print money anytime they choose without asking for anybody's approval. That's just the way it goes. Now, I know that we're no longer on a gold standard, okay? Not that that really makes a difference either, because, you know, everybody thinks that gold, which is hitting new highs, over $1,000 an ounce and everything, is somehow this great storehouse of value, because it was when the Egyptians were learning how to sarcophagize people. But really, when you look at it, just a shiny object, right? You can't eat it. If you're thirsty, you can't drink it. You know, in terms of its actual uses, aside from the trinkets and of jewelry and maybe some gold fillings and a couple of industrial uses, what is gold? The truth is that we're looking at our economy right now and our entire economic system, our entire monetary system is not based on gold. It's based upon some agreement. It's based upon some agreement. And I'm just wondering out loud, when we take a look at the World Trade Center building, where literally it was concrete one day and rubble within a flash. And then we take a look at the Bear Stearns tangible book value of $80 going to $2. And then all of a sudden JP says, okay, fine, you know what, we'll pay you $10. So all of a sudden, instead of paying you X, we'll pay you 5X. It's like, boom, and let's toss these billions of dollars around as if it's kind of like funny money. Maybe because it is. And what may be really, not to scare you, but just to let's have our eyes open here with the emperor being bare, literally, as well as figuratively. To have something worth 80 to go to 2 and the smartest minds in the world thinking that to be the case, and then somebody willing to pay 2 and then willing to pay 10, maybe the whole economic system has no clothes, even though we've bought into it so deeply, and we can all, if we had to take a vote around the world, we'd all raise our hands and say, let's keep the game going. You know, let's keep the game going. and we don't know how much more snap this rubber band has. We know for years we've been borrowing money and spending more money than we've been making, financed either by printing money or by Chinese and other countries buying our debt. And how sustainable is it? The reason why we're bringing all this up is that we don't know how much longer this game of musical chairs will continue. We just don't know. Not to live in fear, but rather to keep our eyes wide open. And in doing so, it's time to start judging ourselves by who we are on the inside and assessing ourselves not by our material scorecard, not by how much money we have in the bank, or what kind of toys and cars and everything else we drive around, but how we impact other people's lives. And when we do that, we really tap into the kind of wealth that money can't buy. And with that, we have somebody who's actually practicing this. How about that? It's not just a concept. It's a reality. We have Mike Hannigan, who's a co-founder of Give Something Back. It's a business products company, and to date, they've donated more than half of its profits, and he'll tell us exactly how much. I know it's in the millions. To community groups that support better education, healthcare, culture, the environment. And oh, by the way, they still seem to do very well from a for-profit and financial standpoint. So with that, Mike, thank you so much for being here and welcome to Inside Wealth.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we get into the details of Give Something Back, how do you define success?
Boy, that's an interesting question to start off with. I would define it in lots of different ways. In business, it's having a profit, making more in revenue than you spend in costs. In your personal life, it's, you know, the health and safety of the kids and the people that you love. You know, there's any number of ways, I think, that you could define happiness and success.
So it does sound like happiness and success go hand in hand for
you.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So is there a recipe that you have for your own personal success?
You know, I would say no. I'm probably somebody who's kind of stumbled around through life from one thing to the next without a real kind of a plan. But on the whole, I think, you know, I have a pretty good basic set of values. And, you know, I think the most important things to me are the things that will last. I don't think in those terms of, you know, definitions like that.
Okay, because, you know, a lot of people out there have this idea of success being you can't be too rich or too thin or something like that, or they use the money as a scorecard thing. And I think what you're underscoring here, one, is that you don't need to have a plan per se to have success, and really what you're talking about is happiness.
Yeah, and I definitely would agree that the traditional kind of definitions of success is how much money you have, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. I mean, I definitely don't agree with that. But an affirmative definition is a little harder to come
sure.
by for me.
So it's kind of like obscenity. You know it when you see it, or you know it when you feel it.
And yes.
Yes. Got it. Okay. Well, that actually does work for a lot of people too, because it doesn't have to be so rigid. You spent a fair amount of time in corporate America and working for companies with Xerox, like Xerox and Ricoh. What inspired you to create Give Something Back?
Well, I think Give Something Back was, I think, when the two important parts of my life previous to the establishment of Give Something Back in 1991 kind of came together. The opportunity came together to use the set of skills that I had kind of almost accidentally developed from 1978 when I started in Xerox and 1991 when I started Give Something Back, the business skills, the skills that are necessary in order to compete in a very competitive marketplace against companies that are trying to take you out and you're trying to win customers from them. But also during that period of time and before that, I've always been engaged in community activism through my college years. And then after hours through my business years, I was one of those people that went out and did community service type things. But it was always kind of a secondary after hours kind of thing. So in 1991, I had an opportunity to start a company on the Newman's Own model that combined both those things, the ability to go into the marketplace and compete, to make a good living, and to do it in a way that was compatible with that community service side of my nature, and to have both things kind of sustain one another.
So what exactly is, for our audience here, for their benefit, what exactly is the structure, like the financial structure or the philosophy of the profit sharing to community or nonprofit activities?
So our goal as a business is to go into the marketplace. We're a business-to-business company. We're like Staples or Office Depot or Corporate Express. We don't have stores. We have trucks and warehouses. So we go in and convince customers to use our products through us for the reasons that are good for their companies, price and service. So we compete in order to make a profit. And we, our goal is to make as much profit as we can. In order to do that, we have to have satisfied customers who are achieving their goals, which are their company goals. This is not their money they're spending. This is their company's money. So our goal when we make a profit is to donate that profit to nonprofit organizations that are chosen for us and selected for us by our customers and our employees.
We're going to learn more from Mike Hadigan on how to build a business that does good and well for everybody concerned right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM KNEW San Francisco.